Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and I want to remind you all as we get into this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its seven branches or go to mecu.com for more information. We turn our attention now to a really profoundly important program in our community. The Immigration Outreach Service Center at St. Matthew's Catholic Church. And we're here in the studio with Father Joe Muth, who is pastor of St. Matthew's and who founded the Immigration Outreach Service Center in 2000. Joe, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Nice to be here.
I don't have to pretend to call you Father. I can call you Joe, right?
That's fine.
Jean-Marie Holloway is Executive Director of the Immigration Outreach Service Center. Jean-Marie, good to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Oh, and Charles is with us. He's a board member at the Immigration Outreach Service Center.
Thank you, Mark. Welcome.
And Dr. Anthony Jones is by phone.
Right, yes.
And Dr., welcome. Good to have you on the program as well.
Thank you.
So let's talk. Joe, let me talk about the beginning of this. Because your congregation, first of all, is a pretty amazing place. We went to Christmas Mass. Was it Christmas?
It was Christmas Eve, right.
Mm-hmm. And we went to your church. The church is made up of?
We have people in the congregation from about 45 different countries. And in 1999, we were celebrating the church's 50th anniversary, and we recognized the number of immigrant folks that were making their home at St. Matthew's, and we began to look at how to organize that. So we worked with an organization in Baltimore called BUILD to help us organize our community. We did a parish congregational development program, and through that we started out with an immigration committee, which became an immigration team, which became the Immigration Center. And in October 2000, we started officially with that.
So I want you to just kind of talk a bit about, Jean-Marie, and everyone else here, but start with you, the scope of the issue of refugees in this community and the kind of work that goes on there in your center.
At the center, basically what we do for refugees, we assist them to file for their green cards or their permanent resident cards, and then later on to become citizens. When they come into the United States, they are resettled by the International Rescue Committee or the Baltimore Resettlement Center. But then they move from that point to come into our centers to file for their permanent residence card and for their families, whether it be their children or spouses.
So, and you are from where?
I'm from Jamaica originally.
And been here how long?
I've been here in the U.S. since 1986.
And a lot of the people I've met at the Refugee Center and through your church, Joe, I mean, they've been... There are people who are fleeing. I mean, this is not – some people are emigrating, but many of the people are actually fleeing oppression, murder, genocide, rape, mm-hmm. political oppression.
Right. The torture and trauma that they've encountered either personally themselves or watched their family members go through that from Sudan or Rwanda or other countries like that. We have welcomed people from a lot of those traumatic situations, and we have to find ways as a community to help people get adjusted, not just to new life in a new country, but through their trauma, some of them dealing with PTSD, trying to figure out that and kind of get their life back on track again. Yeah.
So, Dr. Anthony, welcome to the show. I don't know how much of your own story you'd like to tell, but we'd love to hear a bit about what you can tell us about your world.
Yes. I am a physician from Africa, and I came into the U.S. in 2001 in search of greener pastures. And I had a good intention on arrival of regularizing my stay and legally work and contribute to the well-being of the society. However, I came in with a lawful visitor's visa. But unfortunately, on arrival, I had no knowledge of the immigration laws, so I was at a loss as to what to do. I could not get a job because I didn't have a Social Security card and applied for one but was denied because I had to be employed and sponsored by an establishment. Unfortunately, many employers and establishments didn't want to go through all the sponsorship rigors, so they shy away from that. So I decided to get a U.S. education and work. I got into an accelerated college program, and the school will not sponsor me for a student visa. So I still couldn't work, and yet I had to pay my tuition. I had to do menial jobs to support myself and to pay my tuition. And, of course, I was exploited by my employers. luckily, through my church, I got introduced to the IOSC, that is the Immigration Outreach Service Center at St. Matthew's Church at Loch Raven. And through the IOSC, I got enlightenment on the immigration laws and how to go about them and to obey the immigration laws. Also, with the IOSC's attorney, I got my papers filed for extension of stay, which I got. And this was done at a very low fee because I couldn't afford it. And luckily for me, too, some members of the IOSC board were very generous, and they gave me personal loans to help me pay my immigration application fees, ranging from a few hundred dollars to as much as $1,300. This I was able to pay back in due course. Eventually, I graduated from college and I got employed by a hospital, and that hospital sponsored me for my immigration papers. I eventually got my work permit and got my green card, which is also called the permanent residence.
Mm-hmm.
And my citizenship process is in progress right now. And with this sponsorship and this help, I was able to return to my practice as a healthcare worker. So right now, I'm able to contribute to the U.S. workforce. I'm able to contribute to the U.S. economy, and I'm able to work as a healthcare provider, and I support many charitable organizations here because I want to be able to give back to the society that helped me out.
To talk to Anthony, I'll interrupt just because in the interest of time to get our other guests back in the conversation. So I'm curious just about you put this fundraiser on every year. We know we're doing it a week from this coming Monday.
Yeah, the 26th. April
26th. That's in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's really, I am calendar challenged.
That's okay, really. It's
I have often
been. If that's all, you're lucky.
but talk about why this fundraiser is. And I want people to get a real sense of who the people are in the center and why this is such a critical part of our community. And what it serves. I mean, and you, mm-hmm. I mean, the three people in this room are people who are intensely involved with this day to day. So mm-hmm. talk to us a bit about, our listeners a bit about what happens inside the center.
Right. Well, one of the things the center does, one of the main functions of the center is to provide low-cost immigration services to immigrants throughout the Baltimore area. What that means is that we provide adjustments of status, naturalization applications, adjustment of status, and removal from proceedings. Most of the immigrants who visit the center really and truly may not be able to afford the high cost of immigration services provided by your normal immigration lawyer. So they normally visit the center in order to access the services that we offer. In doing so, however, the center has recognized over the last 10 years, and this is the 10th year of the center's existence, the center has realized that there are other services that most immigrants need in their effort to regularize themselves into their new homes, i.e. social services, i.e. access to education, i.e. access to simple processes as finding out where to go to find normal services. And these are the kinds of activities the center does in order to assist the immigrants to normalize themselves into their new home.
Go ahead. What are you saying?
In addition, here again, we provide the low-cost immigration services that assist immigrants, just like Dr. Ara just mentioned, or Dr. Anthony just mentioned, in not only legalizing, but documenting themselves legally, but moving on a path to naturalization from their journey, from their native countries.
Joe?
And so as a result of that, one of the things we wanted to do was to establish a fundraising event to get the word out there as to who we are, what we do, and to raise money for the center. So this is the 7th year we've done this. It's called Savor the World, and we have about 10 different ethnic restaurants. And this year we have our Nigerian dancers and our Kenyan dancers and our Filipino dancers. All from the church, yeah. And our praise and worship dancers who dance at church sometimes. I'm not a part of that, but it's...
That's we a good thing. That's why people come to watch. You're going to chase them away.
That's right. And so they provide, in a sense, the entertainment, but they give ethnic expression from their own country, their own country's dances and things like that. And then we have, at the event, we also try to connect political people, immigrant people, corporate people at the event to kind of get to know each other so that corporate political people can see what immigrants have to offer and immigrants can see people in other walks of life in this city and how they can relate and help each other out.
Jean?
It's also an opportunity for us to build relationships with corporations and foundations that can assist us and for them to get to know who we are and, you know, to hear our stories. At these Save the World events, there's a line of ethnic dishes, and as Father Joe mentioned, the music and dance and entertainment. And it's just a wonderful evening for people to come and mingle and to hear about us and learn about us and for us to build relationships. And, you know, this is our 7th anniversary, as you mentioned, and it's just something that we look forward to each year.
And we have, this year, our theme is celebrating partners. So a lot of the foundations or corporate leaders that have helped us over the years, we're acknowledging them and thanking them for how they've helped us sustain this work, but also supported this work over the years. And some of the folks that we have helped us through hiring immigrants and giving us advice, and we're honoring a man who's a retired immigration lawyer who's been retired for many years, but he's been very supportive of us and been a mentor to our lawyer in helping us through different situations we've needed to address.
I mean, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, listening to this program are going, well, wait a minute, we're in America now that has officially like almost 10% unemployment rate and probably 18 or 20% when you think about people who don't really have work. And so there's a lot of feeling in America that is not very friendly towards immigrants or people who want to help immigrants get settled. I mean, that's an issue you all face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is an issue that we face, but at the same time, one of the things that we've discovered is that the immigrants that we know and that we've experienced, that we've seen through our agency and other agencies around the city, are not here looking to take jobs away from people or take money away from people. They are, like you mentioned before, escaping violent situations, difficult situations, or a country where they can't survive educationally or financially, and they want to come to this place, America, because they know they have an opportunity to survive here. And so we help people to regularize their status. We help people to get adjusted to this system, not just legally, but also get adjusted to an American way of life so that they can begin to contribute, like Dr. Anthony said he's been able to do. And that took Dr. Anthony 7 years to do that. It's not an easy process, but people do that because of their hope and dream of what this country can provide.
I remember hearing your sermon on the day we were at your church, and one of the things you talked about was if we thought health care was a struggle in terms of getting it passed for the American people, the struggle to help refugees and immigrants is going to be exponentially larger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The comprehensive immigration reform that you hear talked about is going to be a difficult battle this coming year, hopefully in the next few months. But it is an opportunity for many, many immigrants to be able to regularize their status and to be able to many immigrants are waiting to contribute. And we hopefully the comprehensive immigration reform will help them to begin to make that contribution.
When you look here, you're about to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the other competencies of the center is to provide education about immigrant status, and about the real views on immigrants within the United States. I'm sure that you and most of the people would have realized that most of the debate about immigration within recent times have been about illegal immigration versus immigration reform, when the real topic should be about immigration reform and how do we get about empowering the lives of the immigrants who are here, which at this particular point, the undocumented amount has been estimated anywhere between 12 million and 20 million people. The question is, if you have so many immigrants, there are logical ways to have reform so that these folks could be producing members of society, i.e. have decent jobs, pay taxes, contribute substantially to society in the near future. And I'm pretty sure as the debate rages, we'll also hear the opposite side, the illegal immigration before debates. But the attempt to hear is to teach people about immigration itself and not necessarily illegal versus legal immigration, but how do you improve the lives of the undocumented immigrant so he or she could be a more productive member of the society.
Jim, give us a sense, before we turn back to Dr. Anthony again, give us a sense of this kind of stories and things people go through that you address every day in your work.
It's a daily struggle. Immigrants come.
Let's talk about the last 2 days then. Talk about some of the things that really strike you as what Americans may, other people in our community may want to hear about, what you have experienced with the people you work with.
Well, one of our clients has been here for a number of years, and she has two children who she has been trying to get their green cards for over the years. She filed for them more than maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And they are now grown. They're adult children. And just finally, the priority date, because of she's a green card holder, she has a priority date that she had to wait for these years in order for her children, who are now over the age of 21, to adjust their status. And so just now we are working through that with her. And, you know, she is feeling so relieved that after all this time, her children can actually be able to live normal lives. You know, her son and her daughter have got depressed over the years and not being able to work the way for the job that they really want to work for. So it's just a blessing for her now that she feels at this time that they're finally at that point where they can fully integrate into the U.S. society.
I wonder how all of you for a moment just think about, you were about to say something, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
The just what it is like for the congregants in your church. And for all four of you to respond to this, the congregants in your church, both the native-born Americans, black or white or whoever they are, or Asian native-born Americans, and the immigrant population who lives in that church from 40-odd countries, and their interaction. I'm curious what that world is like, what you think it's done for people in that church. I mean, you know, you have these choirs made up of people from across Africa, Asia, Latin America.
Yeah, we have a Kenyan choir and a Sudanese choir, and they sing not every Sunday, but from time to time. And we have our American mixed-race gospel choir, and we have a contemporary music group. So we have different ways of getting musical expressions from different countries. And we try to work a lot on, like, potluck suppers and gatherings of people to get to know each other, practicing to pronounce each other's names and things like that to really help people get to know each other. And from time to time at parish social gatherings, and sometimes at Mass on Sundays, we'll have different people get up and tell their story to the congregation so that the congregation begins to get a sense of what immigrants have gone through to get here, what immigrants face after they've come here, and how we can help the congregation to be a supportive body for this individual person or this individual family. So we try to do a lot of that to get the story out, at least within our congregation, that people know and understand what people face.
Right. Yeah, and certainly, Mark, one of the things that I myself, I'm an immigrant, and interacting with the other immigrants throughout the world gives me the chance to live vicariously what their lives has been, you know, and their struggle has been over, you know, I guess, in their attempts, you know, to normalize themselves within the United States. For example, I would hear the story of someone who came from West Africa, for example, and realized that it might be similar to my existence in the Caribbean back when I was a younger boy. And you know, although there may be differences, there are also similarities that helps us build relationships that we transpose to the church, to the center, which makes you know, center really and truly the viable entity that it is at this point.
Now, we only have okay.
I was going to say, in our church services too, we usually try to acknowledge when somebody just got their green card or became a citizen, or when from somebody's children have just arrived after 4 or 5 years of being separated. We try to make that a church event so that the whole church can see what it's like to have somebody waiting a long time to be reunited with spouse or children, or how long they waited to get their green card to become citizens. We make that try to make that a church celebration at the same time.
James, very quickly, we have about a minute left here.
And the church celebrates these events. One of the things that came about as a result of the Immigration Outreach Service Center and the involvement of the members of the congregation, the detention committee had been formed, and this comprises of mainly the American-born people who were so moved by our work and moved by what they had seen at an immigration detention center in New Jersey that have begun this detention committee, and they go and visit detainees in various places.
We go down to the Howard County Detention Center and visit there.
That's a story that we should talk about.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I guess we should, Dr. Anthony, I'm sorry we didn't get you back in the conversation to the end here, but tell us once again where people can the information about the event, where to go.
The event is Monday night, April 26th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. And if you want to find out more information about what we do, our website is
www.ioscbaltimore.org. And you can purchase your tickets online.
We can't talk price, but yes, go ahead.
Or you can make a donation.
And folks, we'll have that information on the Steiner Show website, too. You can link on to that. Dr. Anthony, Owen Charles, Jim Marie Holloway, and Father Jimmy, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work
you
do at the Immigration Outreach Service Center. See you there Monday the 26th. That's the date. See you then. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News and World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. The Mark Steiner Show is produced by Justin Levy and Christina Arison in the Center for Emerging Media. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gabe Pinder, and Felicia Faison. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and find the information about all of our guests, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.